In Exodus chapter 24, we read about how the Lord asked Moses to come with Aaron the high priest and 70 elders to Mount Sinai. Before they left, they offered sacrifice, and the Israelites left behind said, "Well, we will do all that the Lord has bidden us." At the foot of Mount Sinai, Moses and the group had a vision of God and began to climb the mountain. Suddenly, though, God tells Moses, "Come up to the mountain and abide with me there." Moses begins to climb to the top alone, and the mountain was veiled in cloud. We read that for 6 days, the glory of the Lord abode there on Sinai, and on the seventh day, from the heart of that darkness, the Lord called to him. Moses then ascends from there to the summit of the mountain, which from the bottom looked like it was on fire. And Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights on top of the mountain, alone with God. We all know the story of what happened. Exodus 32 tells us that the Israelites, not knowing what happened to Moses, convinced Aaron the high priest to fashion a golden calf from their jewelry. They offered burnt sacrifices and welcome offerings, and with that, the people sat down to take their pleasure. Meanwhile, the Lord tells Moses, "Away, down with thee, they have fallen into sin." So Moses goes down the mountain and sees this idolatrous little feast going on. He's so mad that he throws the tablets of the law that he had just received down, burned the golden calf into ashes, which he then put into water and forced the Hebrews to drink, and then instructed the priests to disarm the whole lot of them, and the priest then killed about 23,000 of them for their idolatry. That's a bad day at the office if I've ever heard of it. Exodus chapter 32, verse 35 tells us, "The Lord then made the people suffer for their wickedness in the matter of the calf Aaron made for them." I think that it is important for us, if we are to say, "I believe in God," and mean it, to meditate on this episode from the Old Testament. There is a reason why the first commandment is, "I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me." It is first because it's the most important, and because it is the one that we need to be reminded of the most often. The Israelites have just been saved from slavery to their Egyptian overlords, with about as much miraculous events as anybody can imagine. They've been led to the base of a high mountain where their leader is called into a cloud with a burning summit. They've had plenty of supernatural signs as to the presence of the one true God. It's not like they didn't know that God was real and was doing all kinds of amazing things for them. But when their leader seems to disappear for 7 and then for 40 more days, they begin to panic. They can still see this strange thing of a mountain curiously wrapped in cloud with a burning summit. The sign of the presence of God is right there, bang in front of them. and they still begin to fear. They still believe in God, but they want a tangible sign of His presence. Something like all those pagan tribes around them had to their gods. And so they exchange faith in an invisible God for a right jolly old feast in front of a statue made with their own hands. They hadn't stopped believing in God. They hadn't even stopped believing in the true God. But while the Lord was giving Moses all kinds of instructions on how Hebrews should live and how they should worship God, they were telling Aaron the high priest how they wanted to live and how they wanted to worship God. When Moses finds out about it, filled with zeal for the true worship of God, he goes wild. He not only incinerates the statue and forces the people to drink the ashes from it, he orders the slaughter of 32,000 of them. Now, if that makes you uncomfortable, then it should. God will not be mocked. And he refuses idolatry. The Israelites thought that they could get away with telling Aaron, and through him God himself, how they were going to live and how they were going to perceive God and deal with him. And God punishes them. When we say, "I believe in God the Father Almighty," we acknowledge that He is Almighty and we are not. He reveals to us who He is and how He wants to be worshipped through the Scriptures and the tradition of the Church. We need to repeat those words often. Because we, like the Israelites, can see supernatural signs of the presence of God. We can say we believe in God, and still, instead of assenting to a religion revealed by God, we want to make it up as we go along. The fundamental temptation of the religious person is to ignore divine revelation and craft our own golden calf. For 2,000 years, men and women have rebelled against the authority of the one true church and told God that they could do it better. One by one, they have made their own images of God and worshipped them instead of the living and the true God. They cast the Almighty from His throne and put themselves and their own ideas in its place. When we dare to say, "I believe in God the Father Almighty," we have to realize that God is not us. God is our Father. We have our origin and we have our end in Him. He is the author of life and death, and we have no other reason to exist than to do His will. That's why He put us here. Jesus tells His disciples in John chapter 15, verse 14, "If you do all that I command you, you are my friend." Notice that He does not say here, well, if you just say that, you know, well, I'm kind of down with Jesus. I like Jesus. He's a nice guy. You know, I can accept some of what He says. The others, whatever, I'll just leave it. But He's my friend. That's not what Jesus says. If you do all that I command you, you are my friends. God the Father invites us into a relationship with him through his Son, Jesus Christ. We are not his biological sons and daughters, but we become his sons and daughters through adoption by the life of grace. Thus, we must respect our Father by following what he commands. Don't tell God how you think he should be worshipped and how you want to live. This is idolatry, and God will not allow it. Just as a father punishes his child, not because he hates him, but to get him to understand that certain things lead to ruin, when we pursue the golden calf, God will allow things to happen to us until we stop trying to make him into what we want him to be, and then allow him to be the Almighty Father that he is. You know, one of the hardest things that I have to do as a spiritual father is to see when people insist on their own way before God. I'm not talking about the agnostics and the atheists and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about good Catholics. They go to Mass every Sunday. They try to live the faith as best as they can, but by God, they're still trying as hard as they can to do it their way. And you know, I can tell them 1,000 ways from Sunday that it's not going to work. And like the Israelites at Sinai, many of them are still going to try to do it their way. And then things fall apart. The center cannot hold. Sometimes I look on sadly as destruction rains down around all of them, and then they don't get why. And all I can do is what Moses did. Get upset, not out of anger, but out of love, and offer sacrifices to God on their behalf. As a church, we have a duty to hand on the faith revealed to us by Jesus Christ. You know, there's 1,000,001 voices out there telling us the church needs to change this and the church needs to change that. There are 1,000,001 people who are dancing around like fools around a golden calf pretending it is God, when it is not. And so we must always resist with everything that is in us the temptation to do the same. When we hear people deny the truths of the faith, it is time for us to boldly proclaim them. We must not only say that God is the Father Almighty, we must let him be our Father, leading us to his interior life. We must let him be Almighty, to let him have the power and the glory, and not try to take it for ourselves.